Welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series, where your host, Andy Jacob, interviews leading entrepreneurs, founders, and CEOs about their incredible companies and discusses their unique entrepreneurial journeys. If you're the CEO or founder of an exciting and exceptional company, the editorial team of .com Magazine welcomes you to pitch your business story to appear on this exciting interview series by reaching out to Mr. Jacob at .com Magazine at .commagazine.com. And without further ado, here is another amazing entrepreneurial story on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series.
Hello, everybody. Andy Jacob here with the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series. I have a fascinating show today. You know, everybody at .com Magazine, you know that we love to bring in the worldwide leading experts in their respective space on the show. It's so interesting to talk to so many different people making an impact in their respective fields. And of course, one thing that we always talk about at .com Magazine, especially for entrepreneurs and especially for founders, is you need to think about tax law. You need to think about asset protection. You need to think also about estate planning. And we decided to bring somebody on. We went through the Rolodex, who's really a nationwide leader in this particular field. I mean, she is the CEO of Vandenek Weaver and Toulson, and her name is Mary E. Vandenek. She's an attorney. And, you know, if I was to spend the full 30 minutes of the interview just going through what Mary has been through, all of her accolades, all the awards that she's won, all the speaking engagements that she gets invited to, I wouldn't even have a chance to do the interview. So let's get right to it. Mary, welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series today.
Thanks so much for having me, Andy.
Yeah, it's great to have you. I mean, you're known throughout the field as bringing really extraordinary energy and focus to your work for your clients. I mean, you're a founding member, and I believe you're the firm's managing partner and the CEO. You have a great legal expertise, of course, in tax planning and tax law, asset protection, estate planning. There's another thing that you're getting involved with that really resonated for me, but we'll get into that in a minute. Before we get started, let's pull the lens back. Tell us about the firm.
So yeah, sure. So I started the firm in 2005, and I and a partner left a big regional firm, and we were really advocates of using technology and delivering the practice. So when we left the big firm, we left basically with our laptops, and we started the firm in a basement out in the middle of a farm field in my dad's old office, which he'd built out in the middle of nowhere. And we said, it's going to be the two of us, our laptops. We're never having any partners. We're never having any staff. We're never doing any of that. And what we did was we targeted a market, which is closely held businesses and their owners, and said, we'll use our big firm skills, but we'll go after that market. So all the big firms want all the really big, ginormous clients. And so we said, well, business owners, we really love. And instead of invading relationships, we can build relationships by helping people start, build, grow, and ultimately sell their businesses, and then help them with their personal needs, such as the tax and asset protection planning. And that niche served us well enough that we were really well received, got really busy, really fast, and 2 weeks later had to hire somebody, 2 weeks later hired somebody else. And that kept on going on until we suddenly needed a real office. So we bought, you know, got into a real office and continued to add. We grew really fast. And then we were looking at each other going, well, what were we thinking? I thought we wanted to stay small and boutique-y. And that was when the 208, you know, hit. And so through attrition, we kind of pruned, got a little smaller, and decided, well, we're going to really stay focused on closely held businesses and their owners. And so that's, we've continued with that ever since, except for our new addition.
It's so great, Mary. I mean, here you are. You started with a couple of laptops. The idea was to start small, but what you were doing started to resonate for people. The word got out about what you're doing at the firm. What is it early on that made so many people become attracted to what your offering was? Was it your level of service? Was it the way that you listened to people, the way that you connected to people? What was it that made the firm grow to such great heights?
So I think it's definitely the way that we connect with people. So what we did a few different things, it was also partly pricing, in that what we wanted people to do is to be able to call us for the small things. Because what happens with law firms is you call and you get this bill that says 0.1 unit, it's hundreds of dollars, and nobody wants to do that. So we're both techies, and we started building out some tech platforms. So we created a tech platform called formyourownbusiness.com, which we still have, and it can compete in pricing and service with LegalZoom, except we provide an online service. We're about to launch another platform. You can create multiple trust and estate documents by connecting us through our website. So you have a whole group of people these days who don't necessarily want to get on the phone and talk, but find other ways to communicate. So we delivered to that market. We came up with pricing structures that are unique. So if you need a service on a regular basis, as opposed to billing you by the hour every month, we'll convert that into, let's talk about on average what you're going to need per year and give you a regular monthly rate. And then service has always been our hallmark, as well as quality. So we really talk regularly, like we have a meeting tomorrow. What can we do to improve our client service? Can we add a project manager? Can we, you know, talk about, can we do a client portal? Do we need to do chatbots on the web? Or what else do we need to really enhance our service for our market?
Yeah, Mary, it's so interesting. You've really integrated technology and your love for that platform with law. I mean, of course, you've been named the Fortune Magazine Woman Leader in Law, you know, in the past. You have so many accolades and you do so much. So I'm trying to think in my mind, how does someone like you, I mean, do everything? I mean, you love wellness, you teach yoga, Pilates, you're into spinning, you have this platform, you love technology. How do you find so much time in the day to run this burgeoning, you know, law firm that you have right now?
So fortunately, I'm very high energy. But what I decided early on, because once upon a time, I wanted to do this, and that. And I remember I was given a keynote presentation where I said, talked about how, you know, you have to be careful about piling your plate too high because everything will fall off. And I said, well, I just need a bigger plate. And I realized that I kind of did a disservice when I gave that presentation. And I've been asked to go back and give my, because I was talking to the director who said, yeah, you need to come back with your later version. We all have a plate that's only so big. So what we have to do is make really good choices about what goes on it. And what I did was find out how to bring those loves together. So my wellness, I've been teaching fitness for 20 some years, and that's my business development, because most of my clients or referral sources met me at the gym. And, you know, regularly, I just recently presented at a conference where they had me present on a tech, you know, a substantive technical tax topic. And then I taught the yoga class and I taught a mindfulness meditation. So I kind of find ways to do the same thing. I have a podcast. The podcast, we talk about tax topics, we talk about tech topics, we talk about wellness topics. So I just try and find ways to make them part of the same path.
Yeah, I love it. And the path really connects because, of course, when we're talking about estate planning, tax law, asset protection, and the thing we're going to talk about, which is care management, oftentimes those things for certain types of people add some stress to their life, if I may say that. And it's all about sort of keeping this balance and making sure your body is healthy so that your mind and spirit can be healthy as well. And you bring it all together in this path. Let's talk about care management. I mean, that resonated for me when I read about what you're doing over there, Mary. I mean, I'm now, you know, working with my mother-in-law and father-in-law who are elderly to sort of look at their care management component and their package and what that's going to look like. Why is that so important? Why did your firm decide to sort of get into that? And why is that resonating for so many people who you're working with?
So I think that it's an area that one of the things you asked me early on is kind of what's helped you make your mark. And I think part of it is really listening to people about what their needs are. And one of the reasons I started down the asset protection strategy path, and I'll come to the life care management because they parallel. But I started down that path because I had clients in their 50s sitting in my office going, you know, tell my mom I need her to leave those assets for me in trust. She thinks she wants to give them to me outright because I'm successful. She doesn't get that. That's why I need this in a third party trust, because I am successful and I'm a target for lawsuits. So talk to my mom. And mom would say exactly that. Well, he's responsible. He's done really well. And so that's how I started asset protection. Same thing. 50-year-old successful executive sitting in my office, and their mom, you know, they're trying to figure out how to take care of their mom, or they're trying to figure out how to fill out the forms to collect an annuity, and it's not their area. And they're sitting in my office just freaking out about what's, you know, what they have to deal with for that. And I'm like, wow, this is an area that really needs a higher level of service. And so we've targeted that in a couple areas. We actually have a family office as well that takes care of anything and everything. So if you want us to keep track of your checkbooks, or, you know, make sure your cleaning staff gets paid, that's actually a piece of, is connected with the life care planning. But it was actually at a technology show several years ago that I heard a spiel by a lady who was building a life care planning law firm. And the concept of that is there's this big disconnect between legal documents and when you actually need them. So somebody comes into my office, they're well, and I'm like, well, let's talk about a, you know, power of attorney for healthcare. And let's talk about if they're sitting there and they're fine right at that moment, this is not really that big issue. But again, it's the 50-year-old who's, oh, but my mom, right? And what happens is with that, and there's any range of needs, but what there's, people don't know how to find their way into the system. Once they're in the system, a lot of times there's a lot of things that help them, but there's some challenges in finding in the system. And there's some services, but what we decided is we wanted to provide a very objective service. So if you, let's say you want to find a senior facility for a parent, and you're like, you call up and there's these navigators, but they're getting paid by the facility to help place. So they work and they're going to show you 17 facilities, but there's probably 50 available. So what we've done is create a database that has every facility, whether it's a senior apartment that doesn't have any services, independent living, assisted living, all the different type, or there's places you can buy into. And we've created a database and a matching system. So somebody can say, these are the amenities that are important to me. And then we can provide them the, you know, three facilities in the area that do that. We just have a gentleman who is, you know, moving to Utah, and we helped him. And now that we don't have the whole database in place for Utah yet. So we found somebody who could help us with that, but we help match them. But it's not even just finding a place to live. It's trying to figure out Medicare. People have no idea when they become Medicare eligible, how to understand that. So we have Medicare specialists, and we built into a base annual fee. We'll do a Medicare review. We'll kind of review any chronic health issues, make sure you're on track, because a lot of the planning needs to be ahead of time, as opposed to the call that, hey, mom and dad, you know, fell on top of each other in the restroom today, and both of them had broken hips and they need to be in a place, which is a real story that I actually had happen, right? So we try and get people at least having that conversation ahead of time, making it affordable, getting them thinking about it. But again, a lot of time it's the 50-year-old that helps identify it. But we also have a list of things like death doulas, pet caretakers, pet walkers. So if somebody goes to rehab for 6 weeks and they don't have anybody to watch their pet, we can help them find that. A big issue for elderly is actually finding a handy person that they can trust to come over and take care of things. So we vet those, find that type of service for clients as well.
Yeah, it's so interesting, Mary. I mean, everything that you just mentioned, almost everything you just mentioned, I'm touching right now with my senior mother-in-law and father-in-law. And it's such a sort of a web to weave. And when you make it easier and better and more simplified, it really makes sense. And as our population becomes more old, I would think that this is going to be something that's really going to take your firm into new heights. When you think about the care management for seniors portion of your practice, Mary, and you say to yourself, you know, we're going to grow this out because it's such a needed sort of service.
So we're doing a few things, and the technology is forefront. So we're actually involved in creating a national firm, not where everybody will be the members of the same firm, but we'll have enough, you know, different levels where you can affiliate and have access to some of the services. The tech, we're creating some of that matching technology, and we're designing it in a way that if a company, you know, law firm in California wants to do something similar, that we can help them build out that software. And we have some coaching on how to develop this type of business. So we don't want to necessarily own the business. We want to help other law firms do similar type models, but we've created the technology to make it easy because most lawyers just don't have time to figure that all out. And we've created a bank of services that they can use where we've negotiated rates with the vendors that they can participate in. And we're creating a model for the service. And in our national firm, there'll be different levels, but mostly we want there to be a very similar brand. So for it to come in, they have to be the brand, but our hope is to get that service. Because one of the things that people will say to me is like, well, I have four kids, so I don't really need your service. But actually, you know, one of the first ones we tried this with was I had a guy in my office and he has four kids. That's why I use that number. One who lived nearby and was happy to help him, but her husband had just had a quadruple bypass surgery during the pandemic. Another son was having his own personal health issues, and the other two live way far away with young kids. And so that's one of the places where we decided, well, let's try our idea out and see how it works. So we actually have also connections with a senior move manager, and the move manager can move people in. We can take pictures of all their personal effects, and we can do things like the facilities love us because what we can do is inventory all of the assets. So when somebody has dementia and they check in and they're like, the nurse stole my diamond ring, we have a record that remember you gave the diamond ring to your niece, Nellie. Let's call Nellie. She'll reassure you that she has it. So we get rid of that type of problem. Somebody then dies in the facility. Our senior move manager moves their stuff back home. Our real estate connections will get the house ready for sale. We can get all the, instead of everybody having to get in the same room and fighting about the nativity set that was under the tree when they were in fourth grade, we can just divide everything into lots, have that all online.
Is this available only to high net worth individuals? Because it sounds like the level of service is really incredible. And are you thinking about offering it more of a platform to, you know, anyone who's who needs this service?
Where the life care planning actually started was for those with less money. I happen to have a primarily high net worth practice and see the same issues for those where everybody was assuming the only people who need this help are those who have no money. So we have levels of service. So we have like a base plan that includes, hey, the meeting, the annual review, making sure estate plan documents are in order, set fee, right? And so then what we offer is the life care coordination piece is we're going to assemble information for you, but you don't have to pay us as much. But we'll get is for a set, that set annual fee, if somebody can afford to pay us to vet the options for them. So we can serve all levels. The service will just look a little different.
Yeah, very interesting. Let's pivot a little bit and talk to the younger entrepreneurs, because we have some younger entrepreneurs watching the show. But basic thinking now in terms of an attorney, if you had a young entrepreneur that was starting their first business, can you give a little bit of blocking and tackling with regard to how to set it up, what they need to think about when they're setting up their company? You know, do they form an LLC? What are some of the basic blocking and tackling they need to do? I know you know, we have some younger entrepreneurs that would really appreciate you giving that input.
So in two things, I have some pretty good resources on that on our website, as well as on our podcast. But kind of the basic is, here's the thing is what people get confused about is there's two issues with regard to the type of business entity. And that is, what's the legal form of the entity versus its tax status? So everybody say, hey, I formed an LLC. I'm like, well, what does that mean? So for legal purposes, there's corporation, limited liability company, partnership, limited partnership, or sole proprietorship. Now, if you're doing like a founder thing, so you're an entrepreneur, if you want to qualify for some of these tax benefits that you can get. So let's say that you come up with a solution that's going to be connect you to Amazon and add to Amazon's ability to deliver its products and services, then you probably want to be a C corporation, because you have a whole bunch of ways to use that entity to save taxes and to qualify for certain exemptions. So how to set it up, what type of legal entity, and what your tax status are two fundamental things. And always be looking at, well, I know everybody starting a business is worried about, I got to make this go. You think from the beginning, I always tell people, assume you're going to be successful and start planning your exit from the beginning, because then you're going to be better structured from a tax perspective.
Yeah, that's great. Start planning your exit from the beginning. That's great advice, Mary. Let's stay with the younger entrepreneurs just for a minute, because we have some younger entrepreneurs that watch the show. They love listening to leaders. And let's think about a younger entrepreneur that's hitting a roadblock. Let's think about maybe they're hitting a pothole, maybe a wall they can't get through. They freeze in the frame a little bit. Mary, maybe you could give some of your advice based on your experience about what it takes to get through those tough times as an entrepreneur.
So I have a sign in my office that says, never, 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 ever give up, right? So great ideas don't always sell the first time, but it's remake it. And my best advice, and this is I give to anybody that I work with, and I have to tell you, the cool thing about starting this business is that's what we targeted, was entrepreneurs starting their business, because that way we could build those relationships rather than invade. And so the number one thing is to identify who your target audience or customer is. Be really clear about what it is and be really clear about what they want. Because if you've run into a pothole, a lot of time that's it. That might be getting in the way of you getting an investor to buy in, because they're like, yeah, we're not sure you're really delivering what that audience wants. It could also be the way maybe you are delivering what your target client wants, but maybe your messaging is not great. So that the other thing is to have somebody involved in branding with you early on to create a brand. And one of the other things is protect your intellectual property. This gets overlooked all the time with new businesses. People will adopt a name thinking they're doing a small thing. And then when they go to open up in another state, they find out that somebody else has that name or has mark. So before you spend a ton of money on branding, check to make sure you can protect it if you go national or international.
That's great advice, of course. And you're doing such great work. We want to bring you back on the show. I think we bring you back on and we focus right in on what you're doing with the care management, because that's a burgeoning space that so many people need. And even me and my friends, we always talk about it, you know, about our parents and, you know, what, where they go, what they're going to do, you know, what's available to them. And it's such a sort of a complicated area that you're making simple with not only your expertise, but your technology and all your data sets as well. So it's very interesting, Mary. I wanted to thank you so much for coming on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series today. This has been a fascinating interview.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it very much.